What would happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and grow from our core? See, in a world that's shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted. And now we find ourselves in a whole new space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness get to share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative, really, speaking into the emergence, the futurisms, what's on the cusp of what it is we truly are, what it is we're here to really create, how do we bring all of ourselves in and really shift the needle into flow. Jade, welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I know we've had you on the summit already, but this is so cool to have this conversation with you right now in the midst of everything that's going on in this world.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, we've got goblins, we've got fear, we've got Halloween, pretty much on the day that we're airing this episode, or leading up to when we're airing.
Yeah.
And there's just so much anticipation in the room, and I'm loving the conversation you're starting.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think there's so much, you know, just thinking of Halloween and just, you know, what it brings up in us, especially fear, and just that conversation around fear and love and what that means in business and relationships and our relationship to the earth.
I find it so crazy. I was driving through to Stellenbosch the other day and peak hour traffic, and obviously somebody was heading to a Halloween party, but they had the Jason mask on and the girlfriend next door had her face peeling off, but it was so realistic and like everyone was weaving and dashing, and it just kind of made me think of like how everyone's accepting fear. Like, this is the culture where it's great to egg people's windows if they don't give you the treats or if they don't give you meet your expectations. And it's just this whole warped culture of like, you have to be scared and you have to enjoy it. But who enjoys being scared?
Yeah, and then, I mean, then in another way, I feel like it's such a distraction because we're using a lot of like superficial fears for fun, which is really good to celebrate that.
Sure.
But losing sight of what we really need to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And that was the whole core of this campaign, really. You know, what are our real fears? And it's fun to make light of it with Halloween. It's fun to celebrate the freaky and the scary.
Sure.
But not at the cost of our health or the planet.
Yeah.
And to just put that in perspective.
And as you say that, what it brings up for me is like the real courage that is really there. Like, yes, we can fear spiders. Like, I remember speaking to you, like, I'll coach you over WhatsApp while you're doing that. I'm not going to be in the room for that. But like the courage you have to hold onto an idea and let it percolate at the right time. The courage you have to meet your fear and the courage you have to do all of this. Like, those are the fears we really need to be talking about, not goblins and demons and...
Exactly. And I think with that particular challenge for myself, the fear became more the fear of regret of not doing it, because I was so compelled to face this that actually it was more scary at some point to not follow through with it then to, so the courage came from like, actually this is something I really want to do and I know I'm going to regret it if I just think about it and don't do it. So even the moment where I was confronted with the spider finally in the studio, it was like, what was worse was not doing it. So it's the fear of regret rather than embracing the opportunity. That was amazing. Right there. So that put a lot in perspective for me, because sometimes just going through the eye of the needle is that thing that you need to do, and it's the most uncomfortable, but it's worse off to not do it.
Yeah. It's like where the fear of missing out is actually the fear that drives you forward.
Yeah.
In the right direction rather than...
When you know intuitively that something's going to be so life-changing and it's so scary and uncomfortable and risky, but it will change your life. Like knowing if you do that, things will never be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
That just knowing that, as scary as it is, it becomes more scary to not do it than to do it.
Absolutely.
And there you find the courage.
Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't seen the pictures, I mean, obviously we're going to be sharing them a little bit more and everything. I mean, that doesn't look scary. That looks incredibly sexy. Like, you're so owning it. I love the photo. How did it feel to walk into that room in that first moment?
So that, you know, that day, even the week building up to it, literally hunting for a spider, and they're not easy to come by because they're protected, they're illegal to keep because of the exotic pet trade, and there are people who are passionate about them, and I suddenly found myself in the underground of the spider world asking people for spiders, and I found myself saying the thing I never thought I'd ever say is, I need the hairiest, scariest spider you have.
Oh, wow.
But still, it was like I disassociated from what I was. I just kept moving forward and just was not focusing on the creepiness or the fear. Actually, not even not focusing on sitting in it and moving forward rather than avoiding it. Just being in it. And somehow when I was present to it, it lessened. Rather than the thought of doing it, I was in the process of doing it. So that week, I guess I busied myself, and that day, having found the spider through many, many connections and conversations, and finally met Norman the Spider-Man, who said, yeah, I have many. How many do you want? Said he would rock up at the studio, and I busied myself that day and got ready and got to the studio, and a friend was doing the photography in a beautiful studio in town. And I knew the Spider-Man was about to arrive. And when he rocked up with the three, well, basically a container, and inside were smaller containers with the three spiders, it was just like I left my body and watched myself doing this and just put no judgment on it. Just like, this is going to happen because it's going to happen now. So I'm here to make sure it happens. And my mouth went dry and my blood ran a bit colder than usual, but it was just, I was present, and I think that was the biggest gift, is just being present. I was so aware of every moment and how I was feeling and my breathing. And the most helpful thought I had was connect to the spider, the life in the spider to the life in me. That we're all connected in this web of life. And I just became incredibly calm as he brought out the spiders. Like, I was watching this and is this really happening? And I put up my hand and he put the first one out on my hand. And I just went in very, very calm. And the spider just sat there. And he talked to me about the spider and how... And he said if it fell, it would die. And I got such a sense of its fragility. And that we hold so much power when it comes to the natural world, that we almost have no right to turn any of those things into monsters when we actually really are far more dangerous in so many ways. So, and then came the second spider, because there were three he wanted to introduce me to. And the second one, as he put it on my hand, he said, just be aware, this is a walker. And I was like, prepared. I was like, okay, it's going to walk up my arm. And that was okay. I felt like, and I just had to ask him, does it walk fast or does it walk slow? I just needed to know what to prepare myself for. And he said, no, it's pretty slow. But it didn't walk. It just sat there. And we had a third one, a beautiful black velvety one. And by then I felt totally calm. Then we got ready with the lighting. And I spent the next 2 hours with tarantulas crawling all over my body in various places, sitting, crawling. And I felt so calm and connected to these creatures and to this Norman, the Spider-Man, hovering around to make sure none of them fall and they're all okay, and he's there if he needs them.
Oh, beautiful.
Just outside of the lens.
Sure.
And the photographer, also new to photography, trying to be a sensitive photographer, saying, can you move this way, can you move that way? So we were all three of us tentatively moving around in these 2 hours, trying to get good shots, good lighting, a good mood. And in the end, we got quite a few beautiful shots with different moods and different angles. And and even though we chose one, there's a lot to use.
Yes.
And it really is documenting a moment in my life where I totally owned that fear and did something I really wanted to do and followed through with it. And connected me to the natural world in a way I never thought that I would be. And so I was, when I was handing the spider back to him, at the end of it, I actually felt sad to give it back, because it felt like a little furry teddy bear. You know, they they really are the gentle giants of the spider world. And their natural habitats are rainforests and jungles, which are fast being depleted by us as humans. And and not only that, with it, fragile ecosystems and ancient tribes. So we really are the threat here. And I think that is the core of this Halloween campaign, is about fear and what we perceive as monsters and scary.
Yeah.
And also the history of Halloween is so, it's a Celtic, comes from a Celtic origin around the harvest time, where nature's going through a death cycle. They also celebrate the Day of the Dead. And it's such a special time, I find, because it's connecting nature to the spiritual, and human cycles to spiritual cycles and natural cycles. And we've lost sight of the meaning.
Life and business cycles as well.
Yeah, and the connection of life and death. And we've lost that meaning. And it's just become a commercial holiday or commercial day celebrating creepiness and fear. And it's super fun. And it's celebrated worldwide. But we've lost sight of the meaning and also the impact we make on the planet.
Yeah.
And the real, real fact that we're, as you say, who's the real monster in the room?
Yeah.
I don't think we're just monsters. Obviously, we're heroes too, but we really are.
We have the potential too.
Yeah, we're what spiders have nightmares of. We're what they have nightmares of.
I mean,
like, we're the scary ones in this planet.
Yeah.
And I think all of nature, if they had the way to think about it, would,
we'd all have nightmares about
it. We would be the danger, and we are the danger. So it doesn't stop here. This Halloween campaign really was to look at fear and put it in perspective and use a holiday as its anchor, and a holiday that really should be imbued with so much more meaning and consciousness if it's going to be celebrated at all. And it's just catching on more and more worldwide, and there's so much junk and trash involved in just this one, festival, not holiday, celebration. And the core of that actually is to look at how we celebrate throughout the year, how we celebrate Christmas, how we celebrate New Year's, birthdays, Easter, Valentine's, and to move it away from the commercial and back to the meaningful and back to the connection.
The presence.
Exactly.
And that was one thing I heard, like when you were talking about having the spider and really building that connection, and the spider guy being there and the photographer, like, it really felt like you guys came into, like, presence and purpose with it. Like, it wasn't just, you know, I'm going to take pictures with the spider. It was really, like, an embedded connection.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I think it has a more in it for me than what I thought to discover. And that's why I feel like there's so much more that we still can explore with this theme of fear and Halloween, and then further it into all our festivals and celebrations.
Yeah. And I know, obviously, trash-free, plastic-free, waste-free is a core part of low-impact living and this place that you've created here. And, yeah, as you were saying, I mean, Halloween, I wonder if it's actually one of the most plastic, or I wonder what the scale would be.
I think, you know, Christmas might be the one that creates the most junk and wrapping and
more
decor
global.
And more global. But Halloween is close behind on the list, purely because it involves a lot of paraphernalia.
Yeah.
From the dress up to the, I mean, glitter is highly toxic for the planet and never breaks down and toxic for us. Mm. The body paints, the masks, the dress up, the decor, the plastic jack-o'-lanterns, sweet wrappers.
Yeah.
And never mind, because it's catching on so globally and it's trending so much, and I don't think we'll stop because it's so fun, they're even selling on Amazon.com polystyrene pumpkins you can carve yourself.
Oh, wow.
So it might be the more affordable option, but the real cost, obviously, is to our planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to become more junk-riddled, mm-hmm. and it's going to become more commercial because mm-hmm. there's such an opportunity for people to make money there.
Yeah.
And it's going to lose its meaning and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that really needs to be shifted now. And I never, ever thought of this campaign as me giving people ideas. Mm. I want to create a platform where people share what they already know.
Yeah.
Where people share with each other what they do, that one little thing that they do, so that we're creating a web of inspiration. Mm-hmm. So, and a platform where people can say, hey, this is how I do my jack-o'-lanterns, and this is how I made my kids' dress-up outfits, and did you know with a piece of cardboard you can do this, yes. and this? And it's not only the sharing, but it literally invites the engaging of your family and your community,
yeah.
because you've got to share, become more creative, you swap recipes,
yes.
you get creative and messy with your kids,
mm-hmm.
making costumes,
mm-hmm.
baking things, carving out the jack-o'-lanterns,
mm-hmm.
And it becomes in itself a whole memorable and special event rather than rush off to the dress up shop and buy all this stuff
yes.
from the shops and buy all these sweets and put on a show, and what have you got in the end? You know, nice photos for Instagram and Facebook,
but you're still disconnected from it anyway.
What have you really, really gained as a family and in your community?
So it's almost unmasking it in a way for what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a very good pun for Halloween.
Don't
because eat. The reason why people dressed up and the cults dressed up was to, they believed on that day the veil between the dead and the living disappeared for a night and on Halloween night. And so they would mask themselves, so they would disguise themselves from the dead roaming the earth, or look like them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't be confused, and also that they wouldn't be then taken into the underworld or the other world.
Mm.
And then they would leave sweets for the ghosts and goblins to appease them and thank them.
Mm.
So it was became a game and tradition.
Yeah.
And a celebration of the dead. And actually the Day of the Dead is celebrated throughout the world, and we have it merging with the Hispanic Day of the Dead, which happens around about the same time, with all the candy skeletons,
yes.
and where they really
yes.
celebrate with a lot of meaning their ancestors and the ones who have passed,
yeah.
who are still so present in their life today.
Mm.
And they make fun of it and they celebrate it with lots of color. And the Chinese have a similar one where they release beautiful lanterns.
Mm.
And so celebrating, honoring death, celebrating the dead, and the people who have died in our lives and our ancestors, it all comes to play in this beautiful, fun, freaky day.
Yeah.
Yet I'm convinced that we can do it in a much more green and mindful and meaningful way.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, what are you going to... I know there's plans. There's obviously this haunted hotel right here as well that's going to be hiring in all their ghosts and allowing all their ghosts to emerge. But how are you going to be greening up the space and inviting people more?
Just mentioning the haunted hotel, I thought I should actually say how this concept started. It started
yeah.
with the haunted hotel that I lived in. But greening up the space, so having a shop that's a waste-free shop is great because people come all the time. It's a cafe, it's a grocery store in the making, people are always popping in, and I want this to be an example. So we've started with our decor making, cool stuff out of toilet rolls, bats out of toilet rolls, all the staff are on board. So we're gonna deck this place out with a lot of upcycle decor and natural decor, and give people ideas on what they can do maybe next year if they haven't done it this year.
Yeah.
So just be an example, I think, is the first
The
very first step.
Yes.
And have fun while we're doing it.
We definitely got to be an example with that.
With the poster.
With the poster. with facing fears. And
that
catchphrase of "this doesn't scare me, but this does."
Yeah.
Like,
and just, you know, on the thread of the poster, this was just a first step this year. And my aim is that we've created a little foundation for it. And that next year we can build on it and go big.
Yeah.
With a lot more powerful images and a lot more thought-provoking statements and a much wider platform to share ideas and inspire people and bringing brands on board and creating incentives and prizes for people to really become part of that movement. And my real hope is that it's so close to Christmas that that mood of doing that just automatically flows into Christmas, even though we'll have also a Christmas campaign. It might not be as powerful imagery wise, that we keep that ethos into and you take it into the next there's already Christmas decorations and Christmas music in the mall.
Halloween
and Christmas, you know, they follow so soon after each other. Well, Christmas,
it must be
follows.
So confusing in the States, like Halloween, Thanksgiving and Christmas all playing at the same time.
And this concept was really born last year this time, just before Halloween, where I was living temporarily in this haunted hotel, and I had my office up here, and people kept on saying, aren't you scared to be here in this haunted hotel? Have you seen the ghost? And to be honest, I never ever was scared, and I never experienced her. I'm not saying she wasn't there, but I didn't experience her, and I didn't feel like I was the threat. I mean, she was the threat here. And I noticed how much energy people were giving to, you know, the creepiness of Halloween and the haunted hotel and ghosts and spiders and and that's when I thought, this doesn't scare me. What scares me is us, what we're doing to the planet. What scares me is what the oceans look now with all the plastic. What scares me is whales washing up with plastic in their stomachs and birds dying because their stomachs are full of plastic. What scares me is the ice caps melting.
And you I think you were the first person to share the fact with me, and then I heard it from so many other people. Unborn babies
are already, they're finding polluted with plastic and mercury and all sorts of chemicals from body products and from just environmental pollutants. So, you know, there's all this doom and gloom, and I find the best remedy for that is to move from anxiety to action. It somehow makes one feel a bit more empowered, and a bit, even though they're small things, it's something, you know, you can do today. You can do to inspire your community. Or at least, you know, you did something. And it alleviates that anxiety hugely, rather than spreading doom and gloom or going, well, someone really should change this.
Yeah.
People should really stop doing that.
It's
that,
like,
is a place.
End up. Do the
exactly.
Work.
That somebody is me.
Yeah.
And that somebody is you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the core of it, is just take what's in front of you and do your best to make a difference there.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky because we have social media now where we can spread an idea very quickly.
Absolutely.
And so this, I guess in essence this is something to build on, and who knows what's going to come out of it. But it's been incredibly exciting and hard work. And rewarding to just follow through with an idea and just see where it goes.
And as you say that, like, I have just so much appreciation for the advocate that you're being on this.
Thank you.
I mean, I even know with the shop when we spoke about it every now and then, like, it's easy to... We talked about business models or business models, the word got mentioned a little bit earlier, but it's easy to say you do something, but to embody it and to just invite practice... It's a very different thing. So thank you for being that game changer and like showing us like, oh right, there is toilet paper things that I can be doing. And because we forget.
We do forget.
We know these things, but we so forget.
We're so caught up, and it's not what's being offered to us. The solutions aren't being offered to us.
Yeah. So it almost feels like there's paralysis. It's like, okay, like what can I do? And then you look at it and it's like, oh, there is something I can do.
Mm.
But that moment of like wanting to eject.
Mm.
And what I love about when you had that spider is like there was a part of you that moved out, but it actually moved more in.
Yeah, I became the observer.
Yeah, rather than the runner.
Yeah, or the reactor.
The reactor or the dead, the zombie. Like I'm just going to die.
Yeah, I was it was pure presence. And I think that's a place I would love to take. Well, that's a kind of presence I'd love to take into a lot of areas of my life.
Mm.
Because in that is so much potential and so much gratitude and so much room for connection. And I was just on a high afterwards as well.
I can imagine. Yeah, I saw a little video of you going like, up the stairs.
Did I do that? Did I really do that?
Oh, no. It is gorgeous. And yeah, as you said, there were so many amazing shots that came out of it. Yeah. And people are noticing.
They are noticing, and I'm interested in their responses.
I'm proud of myself. Like, every time I open it up, I'm like, I do feel connected to that spider. Where normally, like, if you put a spider picture in front of me, I would be, like, up the room.
Yeah, well, I had...
And here, like, through your act, I'm appreciating that more.
Yes. And I think people have done that in other ways, like, especially the free divers who've dived with sharks, you know, there's been... so much that we've had to undo in terms of our phobias to these what we've called monsters, and shown that the sharks aren't planning wake up. They don't wake up in the morning and like I'm going to eat a human today. You know, they. It's just they're ancient species, and they're very very much part of the web of life, and they need to be there, and they need to be protected.
Yeah,
and. And they're not these monsters that are out to get us.
Yeah.
Just today, there was a guy looking at the poster outside the shop going, like he was just staring and staring. And I went to say hi to him, and he was like, is that a real spider? And I said, yeah, that's a real spider. And he told me about his arachnophobia, and it's so hard for him to actually even look at that spider.
And yeah, that's so captivating.
And why did you do it? And I told him about it and my experience with the spider and how... sharing my experience, he said, I see that spider totally differently now. Totally differently.
Yeah.
I see that as a creature I want to protect now.
Mm.
And I don't feel like this creepy feeling down my back.
Yeah.
I actually feel a connection with it. Mm. So
there might be still some shock in the room.
Yeah, it's something like you'd be comfortable if someone, saw it on your bedroom wall, or you woke up and it was on your head, you know, like
that would be
even
like
I would get afraid.
I think I told you the story. There was a time where I wanted to learn to appreciate spiders, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna make this conscious choice. Okay, there's like a little button spider, those are fine. Dog pay long legs, sure. That's fine. And I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, those are the little guys. Those are the ones who are more known. I'm like, I think I'm getting it. And I walked out, and there's a red spider, like, right next to my face. I'm like, maybe not ready for that one just yet.
And somehow the bigger and hairier they are, the harder it is to be around them.
Yeah.
And the irony is the less harmful they are. It's the small ones that are actually deadly.
Mm.
And they are not venomous. And they... will give you a nasty sore bite, but they'll only bite if they hurt, and they can't kill you. They're not dangerous.
Mm-mm.
They're just kind of scare the living daylights out of you.
It's the culture of the unknown, the difference.
Yeah.
Like taking it away from spiders, it's in business. Anyone who's doing something different, they must be doing something strange. Anyone who looks different, they must be strange. It's that disconnection that we as humanity
exactly and what we've placed on certain archetypes and
yeah.
You know, in Mexico they honor spiders because of the spider woman, the ancient spider woman who is surrounded by webs and spiders, and she weaves the dreams of people together, and she weaves families and ancestry together, and it's a very beautiful archetype for them, the spider. And in ancient Greek mythology, the spider, the goddess of the weaving.
Yes.
And and humility. And in an American Indian, Native American Indian, I'm not quite sure how you say that, they believe the spider is the archetype of creativity. And if you look at also Charlotte's Web, that, you know, and also there was a spider in, no, it is Charlotte's Web, yes, not Babe, Babe. The movie,
yes, that was a
with the spider. You know, that little piggy looked right through. I mean, didn't see the spider's ugliness or scariness, and saw it for the beautiful mother she was.
Yes,
and so it really has to do with perception, and that is really the core of this whole campaign: is confronting fear. And our perception of what's scary, and recreating a space of connection,
and that I know lives right here.
Well, I'm trying.
It's
a journey, and it's a journey, and it's alive for me because it's hard, and I'm trying. It's not something that comes easy every day, and it is a practice.
Yeah.
And it is something I have to challenge myself with because disconnection is so easy to do. Even trying to create awareness and connection creates disconnection because I'm always working and I'm on social media and I'm on my phone. And, you know, I'm at work, I'm on my computer because people are writing to me. So
and it's the business just, has to go.
Exactly. So there's really like towing the line all the time. And just finding ways to invite connection back consciously, because these days we have to do it very consciously and with intention.
And it's such a skill of the future as well to be able to see how things are connected for anything. Just for us to be human, which is so amazing. And skillful now. So Jade, thank you for being that voice. And
it's my pleasure.
Taking that stand, that stance, and having that courage to see the world for what it really is and what it can be and where we really need to be looking.
Thank you. I'm so
I know, and endings are always interesting. It's like, oh.
So there you have it. There's no more room at the edge of maybe. In fact, maybes have been taken out and scrapped on the list altogether. Because you're not just in business to create products and services. I mean, that might have been what got you out of bed this morning. That might be what's getting you to pay the bills. But you're here to own so much more. You're here to encapsulate so much more and embody so much more. You're actually in the business of creating openings, shaping connections, and establishing engagement. And this is your exact moment in the space-time continuum to find yours. Because you are moments away from being in the whole new class of emergence and sharing your genius in a very unique, bold way. This has been Lena Ski for the Supernova Podcast. And if you like this, love this, absolutely roared about this, check on over to our Patreon page because there's some extra awesome things happening there for all our patrons. And of course, we could always do with more exponential love to really catapult this future of work into the way that's actually going to make a difference in the world. But, and so much more, if you're ready to become magnetic, evolutionary, and a whole lot more in charge of what it is you're putting out into the world, and intuitively design the products, businesses, service, solutions, and the talents you need to discover and deliver that thing that's unique to you and the DNA of what it is that's being birthed in this moment, you're going to love everything else happening over at www.lenaski.com. See you there.